So I want you to think about why you're here tonight. I know why most of you are here. You know, did you come here because you wanted to?
Yeah.
Did you come because you felt like you were obligated to come?
Yeah.
Of course not, right? You know, I think there's times that, though, that we serve God because we feel like, why are you doing that? Yeah, we serve God like we feel like, why are you doing that? We'll make it work, won't we? Okay? Yeah. No, it's mad because of the date. You're right, Dwayne. So, you know, it's possible that we serve the Lord sometimes out of habit. Rather than out of love. We're so used to coming to church. We're so used to doing things for God. And tonight we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, and we're going to see a discussion, or what has been a discussion with a Jewish religious leader. And first of all, what he says is the two greatest commandments of Scripture, the first one is what? Right? And the second is? Good job. You guys are sharp tonight. So after Jesus gave those commandments, then he used the story of the Good Samaritan, and he told that so to illustrate how we should love each other and how we should love our neighbor. And then he goes on to the story, which we're going to talk about tonight, of the two sisters, Martha and Mary, and to illustrate how we should love God. And the story that we're going to read about takes place in the village of Bethany, which is located just outside of Jerusalem a wee bit. And from what we can glean from this passage, and in John chapters 11 and 12, we're not going to read all of that, but Martha lived with her sister Mary, and their later to be famous brother Lazarus, who was raised from the dead later in Scripture. It appeared that Martha was a widow. She was the head of the household. And here in the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Jesus and all of his disciples came for some relaxation, some R&R, some rest, to get away from the pressing of the crowds and all the people. And both sisters were so delighted to have Jesus come to their house. But you'll see here they express their enthusiasm in two very different ways. So we're going to start here in verses 38 and 39 of chapter 10. And it says, and Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She and her sister Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. She had a sister, her name was called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. You know, there's people that have varying temperaments. You've got people that are kind of even keeled, and you've got people who are a little bit uptight. You've got people who are thoughtful and willing to sit back and think things through. Mary was a very activity-oriented person. She was a busybody, as I guess we could call her. And her sister appeared to be that more thoughtful, I want to listen kind of person. And so, yeah, Martha was a busybody. Did I say Mary? Sorry. Keep correcting me. All right, so, you know, and I believe that we many times wrongly contrast Martha and Mary. And though each Christian should make their choice, some want to be a worker like Martha, some want to be a worshiper like Mary, but in doing so, if we just look at one or the other, we miss the point. The Lord wants each of us to imitate Mary and be a worshiper, and he also wants us to imitate Martha and to be a servant. But he wants us to balance those two. And so Mary is content to sit at Jesus' feet, soaking up all the word, and just do nothing, as Martha probably thought. And Martha was looking around at all the guests. She was busy. She was trying to prepare the meal. She was obviously a great hostess. She got up and began to prepare all the food for Jesus and all those that were with him. And then Martha probably said to herself, she did say to herself, what privilege to prepare a meal for the master. What an honor that would be. And you know, in our lives we think, what an honor it is to serve God. And then Mary, on the other hand, would have said, what a privilege it is to sit at the feet of a master. What a privilege it is to worship God. Is one attitude wrong and the other right? Of course not. They're both right. Duty and devotion are both necessary, but there has to be that balance, right? Every action and every relationship that we have and every institution has a basic focus, and which is the reason for its existence. And if it loses that focus, it's going to fail. And so when you lose your focus, either on worshiping or on serving, that's what happens when we lose our focus. Things start to jumble up and trouble begins to occur. So I want to look at this story tonight, and I want to see what it teaches us about the cost of losing our focus. And so we're going to look at how Martha lost her focus. Initially, when she lost her focus, she started to resort to self-pity. She started feeling sorry for herself. And so those of you who know what it's like to entertain unplanned visitors, right? Martha was probably a little bit flustered as time went along and feeling more and more frustrated with each moment. And the first part of verse 40 tells us, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. The sense of the word translated distracted is to be pulled away or dragged away. So she was dragged away from what her real purpose was. So she was there to prepare a meal for Jesus and his disciples and to serve God, but she was pulled away from that and distracted instead. The implication was is that Martha also wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. She wanted to sit at his feet as well, but she was pulled away by her sense of her duties, and she was fretting about this meal and fretting about all the things that she had to do that were robbing her joy of her service to the Lord. And so we should, of course, take responsibility for what we do and take our responsibility seriously, but not ourselves to the point that we overestimate our importance, where we think that, you know, Martha probably thought, I'm the only one, right? Nobody else can help me. And the problem did not lie with the work she was doing, but it was with the attitude that she was doing the work and the attitude that she had. Her problem was that she was out of balance. Her attitude was out of line. And so between the going and the doing and the sitting and the listening, she was way out of balance. And my fear in saying all that is that some of you will say, amen, I don't have to do anything. You're telling me not to work. And the truth is that there are too many sitters already, right? There are too many sitters at Jesus' feet. The difference between Martha and Mary is not that one served and the other didn't, but one served out of duty and the other served out of devotion. And in our daily lives, we can choose to become so busy with all the everyday things that we do that we neglect the most important things. And it's interesting to think back. I was thinking back as I was preparing this about the cartoon series when I was a kid, The Jetsons. Anybody remember The Jetsons?
Yeah.
And the show conveyed how the common misconception of time is, in that in the future, which we are now, right? Those of us who had The Jetsons and were little, some of you are further in the future. That modern conveniences would produce more and more leisure time, right? We would have more time because of all the new things coming up. But you know, with microwaves and faster cars and computers and everything else that has been developed over time, it seems like we have less time. We seem busier than we were before, and we still work too many hours. Stephen Covey, he wrote the book First Things First, and he said that people expect us to be busy or overworked. It's because it's a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we're important. If we're not busy, we're embarrassed to admit it. Busyness is where we get our security. It's validating, popular, and pleasing. It's also a good excuse with not dealing with the first things in our lives. So we get to be real busy. And so Martha's loss of focus in her busyness, she started to self pity herself. The next thing that she did was to she started becoming angry at others. And our world is so full of distractions, and the more pressure that we're under, the more tempting it is to focus on the urgent rather than the essential. And so once we start focusing on the urgent, and I believe that Martha, she wanted to honor Jesus, but when she began, lost my thought again. Think about making a meal, those of you who have made a big meal for a big family, and all the work that comes behind that. A Thanksgiving meal is a good example. And so you start doing it with all this enthusiasm, and you get up early and you put the turkey in the oven and you're cutting potatoes. But as time passes, you start to realize that you're running out of time and all the people are coming. And you can't possibly finish everything that you plan to do. The pies aren't going to get made and the pudding is not going to get done. And what happens is you start to get angry and frustrated. And angry with anyone else who might be in the kitchen. Get out of my kitchen. I got to get done, right? You're in my way. You're wishing the rest of the family would get off the couch and come and help in the kitchen. And Martha was becoming like that. The harder she worked, the more worked up she became. So as she was starting to prepare this meal, she became more and more worked up. And some people burn out in service, but Martha was burned up. She was mad in her service. And a song, I'm not going to read that line. There was a song that that came into my mind, but I'm not going to tell you what the line in the song was. It's inappropriate. It's not inappropriate. It's just not right. So, it's bad enough that Martha had everything to do that she had to do. And it's bad enough sometimes when we think we've got all this stuff to do that we have to do. And it's even worse than when we think about how someone else who we don't feel is pulling their weight and who's let us down. And that's what's happening to Martha. She's feeling like Mary is just letting her down. You know, she lives in the house too. She should be helping prepare this meal. Another author I'm going to quote here, Charles Hummel, says, "Tensions and frustrations mount when we're performing the wrong tasks or trying to cram too many of the right activities into a given period. A critical spirit develops and we begin to judge and condemn others for what they do or don't do. Anytime you feel a wave of criticism gaining momentum in your spirit, remember, it's completely out of line as far as God is concerned." So when we start feeling critical, regardless of what we're doing, we're out of line. So Martha became angry at others, because she lost focus. And loss of focus also found her finding fault with other people. So in the second part of verse 40, it says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by herself? Tell her to help me." So she's finding fault here with Mary. And she doesn't even call her sister by name. My sister. Can you hear the tone in her voice? Tell her to help me. In her defense, she probably has already done everything she could think of to attract Mary's attention and signal her for the needed help. We have ways to get our messages across. We clear our throats, so she was probably like stomping through the kitchen. We make attention-getting motions. You know how your spouse gives you the look? So Mary was probably getting the look. It reminds me of a situation that you've probably all been in. You have guests over for dinner, and during the course of the meal, one of the family members begins to tell something that shouldn't be told to other people that aren't in the house. And so you try to get their attention before they embarrass someone, and unable to get their attention, you start kicking them under the table. And they continue telling the story, and then to make things worse, they say, "Would you please stop kicking me?" So we have a situation here like that with Mary and Martha. Martha was probably close to going over and kicking Mary and getting her attention. And you know, when we're in that situation, we're even more irritated when the other person ignores us, right? And so Mary was willing. So no one can force us to be devoted. It's a voluntary decision. So loss of focus can cause it causes Martha to find fault with others. Loss of focus causes Martha to even question God's care. And whatever Martha has already done to get Mary's attention, if it's kicking her under the table or whatever it may be, there's an accusation in her voice when she says, "Tell her to help me." Or, "Don't you care that I've done all this work by myself?" So Martha was angry at Mary for being selfish, for spending time at Jesus' feet and not helping her with the preparation. And she's angry almost at Jesus for allowing this to go on. And notice that Martha addressed her irritation to Jesus. And that's pretty gutsy for her, right? To say, "Jesus, you know, don't you care that my sister's left me? Tell her to help me." So she's commanding the King of Kings to get her sister off her bum. And so Martha, in a sense, is accusing Jesus of not caring for her, because she was sure that if Jesus really did care for her, he would have gotten Mary up to help her. And so today we would say something like, "Lord, you know what a dingbat my sister is, right? But you're part of the problem too. You're letting her sit there. You're letting her get by without helping me work." And in saying this, she's not only rebuking her sister, but also she's rebuking Jesus, the one who she's preparing the meals for. And so whenever our service for God causes us to criticize other people and pity ourselves because we feel overworked, we need to examine our lives and our attitude. And you know, when we serve and we do things, you know, everything that we do here is volunteer. We have volunteers that are here. And you're not volunteering for me, you're working for God. And we're volunteering, and when we do things for God or in for church or for God, we're not doing it for a man. A lot of times we're looking for man's approval and saying, "Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you." But no, we're doing it for God. And it's so important for us to remember that. And even as Christians in the workforce, you know, we're called to be examples in the workforce and not to be the Marthas on our job and not to be the complainers on our job. But we're supposed to do our jobs in a way that glorifies God so that people can see a difference in us. And so again, whenever our service causes us to criticize others and pity ourselves, we need to start looking inside and saying, what am I doing wrong? Because there's something out of line. And it's interesting how Martha thinks that Jesus's care for her, Jesus's care for her is in line with his willingness to tell Mary to get up and help her work. Martha thought that she knew how Jesus would demonstrate her care by saying, "Mary, get up and work." But you know, Jesus didn't do that. And I wonder if we do that in our lives. Do we ever accuse God of not caring for us because we've already decided what his care for us should look like? And Martha here, she thought that Jesus' care for her would be that he would have Mary get up and help. And so part of Martha's problem was that she worried too much about what others were doing or not doing, right? Martha's concern over Mary reminds us of Peter and John, where Jesus was explaining to Peter what the future held for him. And it says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger and dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you were old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to himself, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and said, "Lord, who's going to betray you?" So this is at the Last Supper. And when Peter asked him, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered and said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? You must follow me." Jesus reminded Peter that it was really none of his business or none of his concern, that he just needed to follow Jesus. And in tonight's text regarding Martha and Mary, but Jesus, by his refusal to do as Martha asked, demonstrates that although what she was doing was valuable work, she should worry less about Mary's choices and worry less about what other people were doing. It all boiled down to the fact that Martha wanted to force Mary to serve Christ in her way. Martha said, "This is how we should serve God," and she wanted Mary to do the same thing. So loss of focus caused Mary to question God's care. So how do we eliminate this loss of focus? We have to remember why we're doing what we're doing when we're doing it, right? In verses 41 and 42, it says, this is Jesus now responding to Martha. "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." And so Jesus responds with tenderness. I don't think he raised his voice and yelled at her. And the first thing he did is he didn't rebuke her for making the preparations for him and the other guests. He's not rejecting her attempt to serve him in her way. Martha's problem was not that she was preparing food for her guests to eat. That was necessary. That's what she was doing. But she gave too much importance to it. She put too much weight on it. And today we still have to be careful of what we do, and be careful that we do not let the necessary things that must get done get out of balance and distract our lives. So there is necessary things that we have to do. There's serving things that we need to do, but we can't let those get out of balance. The core of Martha's problem here is that she tried to impose her value system on Mary. And she tried to have Mary serve in the way that she was serving. So notice that Jesus didn't tell Martha to do what Mary was doing. Jesus didn't say, "Stop preparing the food, sit down at my feet." It was Martha's attitude that really needed the correction. But Martha's work was both good and necessary, right? And so it's all about balance. And so the reality is that as believers today, we need to cultivate both Martha's attitude and Mary's attitude. We need to have a balance of serving and a balance of worshiping. And Martha came to Jesus because she wanted him to lighten the load that day. She wanted him to ease her frustration. And he did what she wanted, but not in the way she'd expected. And in correcting her, he lightened her load, by not having Mary help her, but by giving her a new perspective on what she was doing and why she was doing it. And so when we forget what we're doing, why we're doing it, when we're doing it, and we get turned upside down, and we feel like we're overworked, or that someone else isn't doing their share, or we're unappreciated, Mark Hollingsworth said, "If we forget God while serving God, we'll probably quit God." So if we forget God while we serve God, which is what Martha did, we'll probably quit God. And so we need to keep the right attitude, and we need to find that God, then we'll find that God will enable us to do what needs to be done with joy and with satisfaction. Unless we take the time we need to spend with Jesus personally and privately, we'll soon end up like Martha. We'll end up feeling that we're overworked, busy, and not blessed. So Martha was not wrong, but Mary wasn't wrong either. It's a case of where one did good and the other did better. And it reminds me of a pastor I had who said, "Good, better, best. Let your good become better, and your better become..." No, it's good, better, best, never let it rest. Let your good become better, and your better become best. I can't say it slow. It's a tongue twister. So it's not that one of them did wrong, but one did good and one did better. And so the Christian life is learning to balance duty and devotion. Sitting without serving is powerless. So if all we do is sit and we don't serve, we have a problem. Serving without sitting is directionless. We don't have direction in our life if all we do is serve and never sit at Jesus' feet. Serving after sitting is what produces power and balance in our lives. So I don't want to close this story of these two sisters without understanding the part they play in biblical history. One of the two greatest confessions concerning the person of Jesus Christ was given by Martha and recorded in John 11:27. And the setting was for Martha's confession at the death of her brother Jesus. And when Jesus arrived and was seeking to comfort her, and he told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And then we hear Martha reply her confession, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." So obviously Martha overcame her propensity to be distracted long enough and sat at the feet of Jesus long enough to grow into a woman who had profound faith. The other was given by Peter, recorded in Matthew 6:16. Simon Peter answered, "You're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And the point here is Peter, again, as I mentioned earlier, was accusing or trying to accuse at the Last Supper, questioning who was going to betray Jesus. But here he says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So he's giving Jesus credit for who he is. And so we have more recorded about Mary in Scripture as well. We see her two more times in Scripture, and each time she's at the feet of Jesus. In John chapter 12 is one of the most moving pictures of sacrificial worship that we'll probably see in Scripture. And it says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served. So here's Martha serving again. And while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him, then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance and of the perfume. So she was severely criticized by one of the apostles at the time, and possibly by others for her actions, but she didn't quit because of the criticism. She kept still worshiping Jesus in the way that she wanted or felt she needed to worship. She was one of the women at the tomb on the morning of the resurrection. And so when you sit at the feet of Jesus, you learn not to quit because of hard feelings. You learn to turn the other cheek and go on when the other person doesn't seem to be doing the work that you think they need to be doing. And by go on, I don't mean go down the road and join another church or go down the road and huff. I mean that we go on and we move on in serving God. In Matthew 26:13, we find that Jesus had these words of compliment to say concerning this act of Mary of washing his feet. "I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." We still talk about it today. So these two passages concerning Martha's confession and Mary's worship give evidence that both sisters achieved the balance between duty and devotion ultimately in their lives. So the question remains, what about you? We need to just take a moment and reflect where our focus is this evening. Do we give ourselves or give in to non-essentials that are here today and tossed tomorrow? Do we try to lay our treasures up on earth and serving man, and we get frustrated and angry over the work that we do that's non-essential? Or have you spent so much time devoted to God, spending time in God's presence, that your serving to others has been affected in a negative way? So now you're the Mary, or the one who's not serving. So there needs to be a balance. We need to spend the time at Jesus' feet, and we also need to spend time in service to Jesus with the right heart. So it's all a matter of heart. And it's all a matter of heart. And it's in this story, when we read initially how Martha was bitter and Martha was angry and Martha was frustrated and almost scolded Jesus, it's good to see later that she did serve Jesus again, and that she did love Jesus again, and that Mary continued to worship Jesus in the way that she wanted or she felt she needed to. So all of us, I think, are called to do different things. Some of us are called to clean toilets. right? There's nothing wrong with cleaning toilets, is there? You know, some of us may be called to shovel the sidewalk, right? There's dirty work that we're called to do, but there's nothing wrong with that if we do it with the right attitude. So we don't have to have a perfect job. We don't have to be doing glorious things every day. We don't have to be on the top of the world. It's where we lay our treasures up. So think about your attitude this week and balance your duty and your devotion. Don't spend so much time in devotion that people don't know who you are and that you're not spending time serving God, but at the same time, don't let your serving God draw you away from worshiping and loving Him for who He is. So let's pray. Lord God, we just thank You again for today. We thank You for just the examples that You give us in Scripture. And Lord, I pray that You just help each one of us learn to balance duty versus devotion in our lives, Lord. Help us to understand that we are called to do work, Lord. Work for You, work for others, Lord. But there needs to be a balance, that we can't be so hung up on the things that we do that we forget why we do them. That we can't be hung up on the work that we do for You and become bitter and angry or frustrated or feel stressed because we're doing so much that we forget to sit down and worship at Your feet. And Lord, also help us to remember the importance of sitting at Your feet, but knowing that gives us strength to do that work that You've called us to do. Lord, so there's a balance. There's a balance between the work that You've called us to do and there's a balance to worshiping You. And just help each one of us in our heart, Lord, find that balance. Help us to learn to lay treasures up in heaven and not on this earth. Lord, I pray You bless each one here tonight as they go. Touch their lives, touch their heart. Lord, I just echo the prayers that we prayed earlier that for healing for those that aren't with us tonight. Lord, we know that by Your blood and Your stripes, they're healed. Lord, that Your death on the cross has given healing, Lord, for them and for all of us. So we thank You, and we ask these things in Your name. Amen.